from 91.7 FM San Francisco. It's Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite radio quiz show. Sharpen your pencils and your wits and try to stump the panelists with your questions and answer theirs. Tonight's panelists are Kira Pace and Lori Fisher. And now here's your host and moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you are having a lovely day. It's beautiful out there, but we hope you will be inside and listening to our show, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we need your participation. It's very, very important. All we need you to do is listen and call. And those two numbers are area code 415-841-4134. Again, that is 415-841-4134, or toll-free. Yes, we have a toll-free number. 866-798-8255. That is 866-798-8255. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and whatever is left over. So feel free to give us a call as soon as possible. I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter, MindsOverMatter. This is more and more like Sesame Street every week. Minds Over Matter, MindsOverMatter, all strung together in one word, at yahoo.com. If you'd like to hear this show online, you can certainly do that anywhere in the world with the use of a smartphone or a radio, at kalw.org. Again, that is kalw.org. And if you like a podcast of this show, it should be up and running in a reasonable amount of time after our show tonight. Reasonable amount of time could be anywhere from a couple of hours to a week. And it all depends what the interpretation is here. And that will also be at kalw.org. And it will also be on iTunes and a bunch of other places. So you have many choices to listen to our show. Okay. All that being said, we will start with a round of introductions. And I will start. Kira Pace thinks Delta is the best name for that airline based on the sheer number of changes they make to their schedules. In related news, have a good flight, Adam and Andrea. Assuming you have any flight at all. Oh, they're on Delta. Okay, fine. Well, that's too bad.
They've been on Delta for days, but they haven't actually been on Delta.
What's happened to Delta?
Oh, they had a huge computer
glitch
going on.
Another one.
Like 5 days worth.
It been that long?
Yeah, it's 4 or 5 days now. So.
All right. I wish them luck.
Lori Fisher is refreshed and ready for a great show tonight. Undeterred from this week's massive windstorms, two bizarre hailstorms, and a miserable start to the giant season.
Three traumatic events, the hail especially. And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, thinks that if Trump wants some examples of intense bombing, he has only to listen to our show.
All right.
Hey, wait a minute.
And we will start with Kira Pace.
Okay.
Kira Pace.
Got a couple of rapid-fire questions for you.
All right.
Never work with animals or children is a quote attributed most famously to what man?
W.C. Fields, I think.
That is correct, yeah. And that'll be the theme for my questions this evening.
W.C. Fields or animals and
animals and children.
Disappointing. Yeah.
Sorry. And then speaking as Dana just was of Sesame Street, tomorrow, a Muppet named Julia will make her Sesame Street television debut. What is particularly noteworthy about this debut?
It's connected to Julie Andrews and Henson's daughter somehow. Is that the right one?
No.
Oh, okay, that's a different. Okay,
Julia is there. She's a young girl with autism.
That is correct.
Oh.
Yes.
So high spectrum on the autism, I believe, because she does interact with the other characters.
Yes, right. But the first Muppet with autism.
Yes.
So she's, I guess she was in the books, Muppet books, and now she's making the jump over to their TV show.
Nice.
I'm holding out for a Muppet with a wooden leg.
They haven't had that. All right.
And then one last question. Matt Robinson originated the character Gordon, who had a pretty noteworthy home address, 123 Sesame Street. Robinson's daughter, who is also an actor, is best known for a fictional character with a noteworthy work address. What is that address?
So this is a completely different show you're talking
about.
It is a completely different show. And so is the title of the show the address of that you're referring to?
That is correct. It is, yes.
Like 77 Sunset Strip, but not that.
Holly Peake Robinson?
It is Holly Peake Robinson.
Or
Robinson Peake, yeah.
Robinson Peake, I'm sorry.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. 222? Mm-hmm. Was that?
Oh, 227?
227?
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
Okay.
And it's not 30 Rock. That came from our audience.
No, that's okay. that's a good guess as well, but no.
That's a contemporary show.
It's not that contemporary.
No, it's not on anymore. This is like the 80s or the 90s, something.
Yes, that is right. Correct.
Why don't you read that question once more?
Sure. Matt Robinson originated the character Gordon, who had a pretty noteworthy home address, 123 Sesame Street. Robinson's daughter, who is also an actor, is best known for a fictional character with a noteworthy work address. What is that address? Mm. Looks like the studio audience
The studio audience is going wild tonight. It's the biggest one we've ever had.
All right. Yeah. And Lori, you go ahead, too.
All right. So pass one of those to Kara.
Uh-oh.
And one goes to you. It's one of these.
Oh, handouts. So,
handouts.
Fantastic.
And this is dedicated.
The extra time of a retired...
Yes, I have to prepare handouts. And this is dedicated to Heidi, Dana's friend, who I met at a lovely event. And she says she loves the show and literature questions. And this is one of them. These are the last lines of some well-known poems. So I want to know the poems and the poet. The first is, it's two lines. I first surmised the horses' heads were toward eternity. That's number one. Number two is, till human voices wake us and we drown. Number three is, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee. Number four is, a short one, we die soon. Five is, they also serve who only stand and wait. And the final one is, in my dreams you walk dripping from a sea journey on the highway across America in tears to the door of my cottage in the western night. So I'll give you two each if you know them, and the rest will be for the audience.
Are any of them T.S. Eliot?
One of them is.
All right. That's what I figured.
The people in the studio have a handout. Should I read them one more time?
Yeah, go ahead.
Number one, I first surmised the horses' heads were toward eternity. Number two is, till human voices wake us and we drown. Number three is, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee. Number four is, we die soon. Five is, they also serve who only stand and wait. And number six is, in my dreams you walk dripping from a sea journey on the highway across America in tears to the door of my cottage in the western night.
That's a very awkward sentence.
Well, it's poetry. And these are for Heidi.
Yeah. All right.
It's an awkward sentence, but a great line of poetry.
All right.
Yeah.
Kira, why don't you go ahead?
I'm notoriously terrible with poetry.
Excellent.
But I think number four, I'm not going to remember her name, but that should all be in lowercase letters, correct? Isn't she a poet who writes all in lowercase?
I don't think she's known for writing in lowercase.
Oh, you mean, I think your mic just went out.
Oops. Mrs. E.E. Cummings?
Eric, come on.
Sorry.
It's not Mrs. E.E. Cummings, yeah.
No, not yeah. Mrs. It's, I can't remember her name. It's like Barnes or something like that. I should know her name.
You should.
The street, no.
Yeah.
But I don't.
Okay. I don't. She's not known for writing in lowercase. I don't think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, but do you have another guess on her name? It's close. Barnes is not far away.
No.
And it is
no,
a woman.
She's an African-American poet.
Yes.
And it is a very short poem.
Yes.
And every time I read her name, I remember that I need to remember her name.
Yes.
And
the line Kira is talking about is We Die Soon.
Yes.
And it's a very jazzy, rhythmic poem.
All right. And I'm
so
not going to
take in the right. Well, you're in the right area.
All right.
African-American woman poet.
Yes.
Yes.
So is Eliot Till Human Voices Wake Us and We Drown?
It is.
All right.
Which poem is it?
I've been trying to figure that out.
Isn't that?
No, go ahead.
Is it The Hollow Men?
It's not.
Oh, is it The Wasteland then?
It's not.
It's not The Cocktail Party, is it?
It's not.
Well, it's not The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock.
It is.
Seriously?
Give her a bell.
Right.
In my head, I'm like, well, that's the only one it's definitely not. I am really bad with poetry.
All right. We'll leave the rest of this out for the moment.
All right.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Colette from Bernal Heights.
Hi, Colette.
And Betty Davis won her first Academy Award as Best Actress in which film?
Dangerous.
Yes. That's right.
Thank you. Oh, that's it? Okay. Yeah, 1935.
Give yourself a bell. And the second one for All About Eve?
No. She was nominated for that, but she didn't win.
Right.
She won for Jezebel.
Oh, very good.
Okay, a couple years later. Anyway, all right. Well, take one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Gareth from Hayward.
Hi, Gareth.
I got a couple questions.
Okay.
I want to hear a couple of, last week I was telling you about the Rowan and Martin, though, who that Rope Fuzzy was the only one besides Dan, Rowan, and Dick Martin to remain for all the all six seasons plus
right.
the original special.
Right, right.
It was Ruth Buzzy, right?
Ruth Buzzy.
The director of the original special. I'll give you a clue. He was married to Joe Stafford.
Paul Weston?
He was married to Joe Stafford.
Joe Stafford, oh. Joe Stafford. I thought Joe Stafford was married to Paul Weston. All right.
I don't know. Was it George Schlatter or somebody like that?
No, that, I mean, the musical director. I'll give you a clue. Oh, he was known for his mood music.
Oh,
Neil Hefti.
Oh, Frank Duvall. No, it's not Gordon Jenkins, is it?
No.
His mood music. I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Paul Weston.
I said Paul Weston.
Said Paul Weston.
Said it twice.
Give yourself a bell, David.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got it, Garrett.
All right, second question.
Okay.
Of all the Beatles albums, the early Beatles as a distinction, you know, the only Beatles not to do what?
I'm sorry, of all the Beatles albums, what?
The early Beatles had a distinction of not doing what?
Of not doing what?
Yeah.
Can you repeat the question?
Of all the Beatles albums, the early ones have a distinction of not doing what?
It was called the early Beatles, that consent for early stuff.
It was something they didn't do on the record?
No, it's on the record what the album didn't do.
Oh, what the album... The album did the album not give them songwriting credit or something like that?
No, no.
Something they didn't do.
What, was it a technical thing, like how it was recorded?
Well, something to do with the charts.
The charts. Oh, they didn't read music. Was that it?
No, no, no. It had something to do with the album chart.
No, we don't know.
It was the only Beatles album not to make the top 10.
Oh, the first one.
Okay.
Not to go to number one or number two.
Okay.
All right, all right.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
All right. Let me give you a couple questions here. I'll give you two Disney questions. What was the first PG-rated film that Disney ever released?
So this had to happen after the ratings came in, right?
Yeah, it was after the death of Walt Disney, but what was the first PG-rated film that Disney ever released? It was a big budget movie. It was a big movie.
Have there been many Disney PGs?
Since then, yeah.
Yeah?
Since then. But this was the first.
Yeah.
It was in the 1970s.
Was it The Parent Trap? That
no.
could have been.
No.
Isn't The Parent Trap pre-ratings or not?
Oh, Parent Trap was a definite G.
Mm-hmm. But we're, when,
first
did, when did the ratings come in?
Oh, ratings came in the late 60s.
All right. Yeah. So, and what would it be? Mary Poppins.
No.
That's very racy at times.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was Walt Disney, the Walt Disney Studios' first PG-rated film, 1970s?
All right. The studio audience that I brought with me
yes.
would like to guess The Black Cauldron.
That is correct. No, that is
Ooh.
Not correct.
Oh, but almost was correct.
Almost was correct.
Yeah.
You want to try it?
So it's The
so
Black.
So it's The Black Hole.
Exactly.
That was a scary movie. So. I absolutely believe that
and
was PG.
Insert your own joke there, buddy.
Yeah, really.
And so, yes, The Black Hole was Disney's first PG-rated film. All right. I believe it was 1979. Okay. Second question. In Disney's Fantasia, the sorcerer is named what in The Sorcerer's Apprentice? It has a name, and the name has some significance. In Disney's Fantasia, the sorcerer in The Sorcerer's Apprentice is named what, and why is that name important?
Does it have to do with one of the composers of the music during that
no,
sequence?
No, nothing to do with the composers.
Okay. Was it an in-joke, like his sister-in-law or something like that?
It was a bit of a slight in-joke. Yeah.
Lots of studio yes. help tonight.
Yes,
it's good.
The studio audience would like to guess Yensid.
That is correct. Yensid, okay. Which is Disney spelled backwards.
Oh.
Yes.
Very good.
All right. So you
we have an awesome
You ruined my question.
Yes.
So really. I'll give you one more.
You're not going to be invited right. back if you keep getting things right. You
That's
know?
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm going to give you five different prizes. These are all well-known prizes around the world. I want you to tell me what they are prizes for. Okay? Mm-hmm. Number one, the Jane Grigson Award. Tell me what. They're all different for different areas. Number one, the Jane Grigson Award. It's Grigson. Number two, the Erasmus Prize. Erasmus Prize. Number three, the Lumiere Award. Number four, the Bancroft Prize. And number five is the Lawrence O'Brien Award. So again, these are well-known awards around the United States and the world. Tell me what they are for. Number one, the Jane Grigson Award. Number two, the Erasmus Prize. Number three, the Lumiere Award. Number four, the Bancroft Prize. And number five, the Lawrence O'Brien Award. I'll give you each one guess.
Is Lumiere, does it have anything to do with French film?
Does not.
Okay.
How about the Lawrence O'Brien Award have something to do with democratic politics?
You're on the right track, but not exactly.
Because he was the head of the DNC for a long time. Yeah.
I mean, it's related to that.
Yeah, okay. Well.
All right.
Good one for the audience.
And if you'd like to join us, the two numbers are area code 415-841-4134 or toll free 866-798-8255. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on. Go ahead.
Jeremy from San Francisco.
Hi, Jeremy. Thanks for calling.
Hey, first, I wanted to get 21 Jump Street just out of the way.
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, there you
Excellent.
Go.
Excellent.
You
know,
even with the Holly Robinson beat, 99% of the way there. Most of the word. Thank you.
Excellent.
And then I'm getting my friend Rachel's yelling from the kitchen that Gwendolyn Brooks is the We Die Soon one.
It is correct.
Good.
Brooks.
That's the last night. Yeah, Real Cool is the name of the poem.
Good
and
job.
Gwendolyn Brooks. Very nice.
And
thanks, Rachel.
Your studio audience has a good idea since Black Culture, I believe, was the first animated PG film they did.
There you go.
So, and then for the prizes, I'm going to guess all of them are food prizes and hope I get one or two right.
Only one of them is, but...
Ooh, all right, yeah. I got one.
No, you didn't get one because you didn't tell me which one it was.
The Lumiere Prize is for French food.
No.
Darn it. Okay, well, then I give up.
All right. Oh,
but I have a question for you if you would like one.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Over the last 40 years, they've had a rotating membership, but the disco group Village People have usually featured what six personas?
Oh, well, the construction worker.
The cop.
Yes. The biker.
The cop.
Yep, yep, the yep. cop.
The Native American.
The Native American.
American, yes.
The leather daddy.
Excuse me?
Right, leather daddy.
I'm counting that as biker.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, biker.
Oh, did you already say biker?
Yeah.
My bad.
So we got biker, cop, Native American, and construction guy.
Right.
We need
cowboy. Cowboy.
Cowboy, absolutely.
So we just have one left?
One left.
Yeah.
What are we missing here? Construction worker, leather, cowboy,
I don't think
Native
there's
American.
A fireman.
The
sailor.
It is a. It is someone from the military.
Someone from the military.
In various sites, including a sailor. Absolutely.
All right.
All of them. That's all I got.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye.
So is the Jane Grigson the best cookbook?
It is the best cookbook.
That's
yes.
from our studio audience.
Excellent.
They're doing great tonight.
Yes.
Thank you.
Let's give it in the U.S. if I'm not mistaken. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi, you're on.
This is Laurie from San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. They also serve, is that from Death Be Not Proud?
It's not.
Okay, it's the one above it, We Die Soon.
We Die Soon, what do you have for that?
Death.
save Death Be Not Proud. No, somebody got We Die Soon. It's We Real Cool by Gwendolyn Brooks.
Oh, sorry, I misheard. Okay, and then I'm going to give a plug for my favorite movie because Miracle at Morgan's Creek because they also serve Who Only Sit and Wait, and it's funny.
Okay.
And then Bancroft Prize, isn't there a Bancroft Shakespeare Library?
Yes, but it's the prize is not for that.
Okay, and O'Brien, is that related to Edna O'Brien?
It is not.
Okay, then moving right along. I have a quick question for you.
All right.
Okay, so there is a particular actor. He's passed away several years ago. And he played, it's actually pretty funny. He was in a lot of movies, so you'd know who he was. And he was on Broadway a lot. But he could speak a lot of languages. And so he would play all different... types of people on different things. So he played an American professor on The Paper Chase. He played a Polish professor on, and of course I didn't write this down, on something. TV was. He played a Bulgarian villain on Falcon Crest. He played a Russian on Star Trek and an Italian on Murder, She Wrote. And this was after he was, you know, had gotten older. He'd done a lot of other work.
Is that John Gielgud?
No.
No.
Is it John Houseman?
Houseman, that's it.
But I don't know if that's it.
No.
He was in
the movie of the Paper Chase,
but not the TV series.
Right.
This is the TV series.
And this person could also sing.
Could also sing. So it was the only show
I was
going to guess paper
somebody
chase.
Like Malachi Throne, who was on Star Trek,
and
I think it was in the Paper Chase TV show.
These might have been, you know, like one-off parts on these shows.
Oh,
right?
He might have been a guest professor.
But this person was a big in musicals. In fact, in one that he played a lot, actually more than anyone else. He played a particular character more than anyone else in a musical.
Like Yul Brynner?
No, because it's not too much TV. So if you told us what the musical was, would that give it away?
No, I think that would be fine. Oh. Well, actually, Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah, it wasn't Zero Mostel. It's the other guy who's in the Coen brothers.
Herschel Bernardi?
No.
Yeah. Well,
and I don't want to torture you forever. He was also on Broadway in... what's the one with...
Wait a minute.
How about Richard
I know.
Kiley?
I know who she's talking about.
Theodore Bacall.
Theodore Bacall.
Yes.
Good job.
Another
That's excellent.
Studio
Thanks.
Audience.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Thank
okay.
You.
Good audience. Oh, and then is Maya Angelou?
She's not one of the poets on tonight's list.
She's not. Okay. Fab. All right. Thanks. Bye.
So just to clarify, which ones of these have been answered? So I know we got the T.S. Eliot and the We Die Soon.
Right. So we're looking number one. I first surmised the horse's heads were toward eternity. Number three, so long lives this, and this gives life to thee. Number five, they also serve who only stand and wait. And the last, in my dreams, you walk dripping from a sea journey on the highway across America in tears to the door of my cottage in the western night.
That's a second half 20th century American poet, is it not?
The last one?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's not... no, it's not. I almost said Robert Lowell, but it's not.
It's not.
It's... I'll think of it in a second.
Okay.
Anyway, go ahead. Akira, it's your turn. Go ahead.
I am going to ask you... Let's see. What am I going to ask you? I'm going to ask you some kidlit, kind of. All right. What Salman Rushdie novel includes, quote, a sad city, the saddest of cities, a city so ruinously sad it had forgotten its name, end quote, as one of its settings?
Oh, that's that. Who is that? Haroon? The Adventure? No, the... Is that the book?
Haroon
in the title?
Haroon and the Sea of Stories.
All right, nice. There you go.
Yeah.
Total bell for that. And what is the name of Shel Silverstein's Lion Who Shot Back?
Ooh.
Oh, that I do not know.
That I should know. I read that to my kids.
Yeah. So the lion started off in comics that Shel Silverstein drew for Playboy and ended up in a 1963 book for kids.
Wow. A good one to leave out there.
I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Leave
and
it out.
I have one more.
All right. Go ahead.
Naughty Mabel, the title character of a children's book by Nathan Lane and his husband, Devlin Elliott, is what breed of dog known especially by their owners for their snorting and their extraordinary flatulence?
Whoa.
This is a French bulldog?
That is correct.
Right.
Wow.
You were just burning through my questions.
Yeah. All right. Okay, and if you'd like to join us here, we have a couple of lines open. It's area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday night at 7 p.m. The number again is 415-841-4134. Or toll-free, 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. This is KALW, your local public radio station. Minds Over Matter, as I said before, is a weekly feature on KLW every Sunday night at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight is technical editor Kira Pace and Lori Fisher, Professor Emeritus at Iowa Valley College. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and you're listening to us again on KALW. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Roland from Bernal Heights.
Hi, Roland.
Hi, I this is just a sign that great minds must think alike, because I had jotted down, in honor of National Poetry Month, the last lines of some famous poems.
Really?
Good.
And I was going to ask you about them, and three of them were ones that you have already...
Oh, my. That's interesting.
So the first is amazing synchronicity. The first one, I first surmised the horse's head's retort eternity is Emily Dickinson from Because I Could Not Stop for Death.
That's correct.
Excellent.
Excellent.
I also had the love song of J. Alfred Prufrock, and the other one, oddly enough, was the Allen Ginsberg from Howl, where he says, "In my dreams, you walk dripping from a sea journey on the highway across America."
That's the contemporary, semi-contemporary.
Well, I did have the second half of the 20th century
you
American.
Did. Yeah, give yourself half a bell.
No, you nailed
it. Which takes in about 100 million people, but okay.
That's great.
So I have a couple more, if you're interested.
Yes, go ahead.
I'll give you some hints. I stopped somewhere waiting for you.
I stopped somewhere waiting for you. Okay. Lori?
Okay, the line before it is, missing me one place, search another. I stop somewhere waiting for you.
I should know this.
You should.
Yeah, I'm thinking. It's here.
It's easier for me to write it in because I
don't
know.
It's a poem I know. It's easier to ask him than to answer.
Yeah.
All right, well, the last line of another famous poem by the same person is, walk the dead, my captain lies, fallen cold and dead.
So that's Captain, My Captain by Whitman. So the first one is Leaves of Grass by Walt Whitman, too.
Yeah, Song of Myself.
Yeah, okay. Song of Myself.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. And let's see.
How come nobody asks Casey at the Bat or the Boy on the Burning Deck?
From Minsk.
Yeah. Go ahead.
How about In Her Tomb by the Sounding Sea?
Oh.
And the line before is, in her sepulchre there by the sea, in her tomb by the sea.
Oh, that's Poe.
It's the Poe.
Annabelle Lee.
Yeah.
Annabelle Lee, exactly.
Everybody.
It helps to have two lines. Yeah.
All right. And how about, for the caged bird sings of freedom?
That's Maya Angelou.
That's Maya Angelou.
It is?
There you go.
Okay.
I know why the caged bird sings,
yeah.
Right?
But I thought she was quoting another
poem. He threw
poem.
You a bone just because you had mentioned Maya Angelou. Yeah. There you go.
All right, and here's a slightly, I'll end with a slightly tough one. Trundling an empty barrel up the lane.
Trundling an empty barrel up the lane.
And the line before it is, some neighbor's gardener, I guess, goes by, trundling an empty barrel up the lane.
I don't know that one.
A famous commentator of this poem thought that the next line should be the first line of the poem.
Oh, it's not somebody like Joyce Kilmer, is it?
No, the famous commentator is arguably insane. Gosh,
that's a lot of famous commentators.
Really.
No, we don't know.
This is Pale Fire by Nabokov.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you very much. Thank you, guys.
That was a very clever clue about the commentator being insane. I just want to... Mm-hmm. Just want to mention that. That was quite clever.
So, and Laurie, it's your turn.
All right.
I think.
Yeah, I think it is.
All right.
All right, I'll ask this one. See if this is confusing. So I've been reading about, shockingly, the history of educational reform in the United States. And in 1918, so that's 100 years ago almost, the Commission on the Reorganization of Secondary Education thought there ought to be 7 goals for high school. Only one of them was academic, so I'm looking for the 6 other. So all the academic was were command of fundamental processes, English, grammar, history, that kind of thing. So what other 6 things were recommended by the commission for every high school student who went to public education to have by the time they graduated?
Is some variation on manners in there? Or good? No, I would not consider
like ethics?
It.
Yes. Okay. Ethical character.
All right.
That's one of them. Okay. So I will count that as manners. Give Kira
healthy physical health?
Yes. That's one of them as well. And by the way, that was number one on their list is good health and hygiene.
Yeah, hygiene.
What about social skills? Ability to interact with other people in a pleasing manner?
I'm going to say no. Okay. I mean... Probably it fits in one of these, but I'm going to be a stickler tonight, as I occasionally was when I in my classroom.
Fair enough.
So good manners is not here.
right. Go over the question once
more. The question is, in 1918, the Commission on the Reorganization of Secondary Education suggested there should be seven things every public high school student should know. One of them is academic, the command of fundamental processes. We have health and ethical character. We're looking for four more.
About the, this would be all students and not just females. So like an ability to cook or home skills.
Yes. They called it worthy home membership, which I thought was a way of getting everybody around.
I got the word home in there.
When I was in high school, the women took home economics, and I don't know if the boys could. We took shop, but they got it under worthy home membership.
I think boys could take it, too, if they really wanted to.
Well, at your high school.
My high school.
You went many years after.
Very progressive.
Yes. Anyway, so we're looking for three more on that.
Right.
Yeah.
We called it health.
That was on the list in 1918, too.
All right, good. And let's see. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed in Massachusetts.
Hi, Ed. Nice to hear from you.
How are you all doing? Yeah, I missed last week. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I've got a couple of answers for you here. Let's see. Someone stole my Emily Dickinson. I knew that one off the bat.
Good.
One of them, I lost track of your numbering, three or four, I think, was a Shakespeare sonnet, Shall I Compare Thee to a Summer's Day?
That's correct. So long lives this, and this gives life to thee, was sonnet 18, better known as Shall I Compare Thee to a Summer's Day. Very good.
And another sonnet on there, I also lost the numbering, but they also serve Holy Stand and Wait, is John Milton on his blindness.
Absolutely correct.
There you go.
Boy, you get good schooling in Massachusetts. Way to go.
And then on your education quest, I'm also a former English teacher, so
excellent.
On your education question, how about something about timing or punctuality?
Not on the list. That may be ethical character back then, but that's not a separate one.
Just come in whenever you feel like it.
Ability to follow directions.
You know, that's not one of them either. Maybe that was just assumed.
Hmm. I'm trying to think of, you know, the Industrial Revolution and getting everybody ready to work in the factories, but...
Oh,
but that is one, vocational skills. So that is, give him one
for that.
Get a job.
I fell into it.
Okay. Came in backwards.
And I've got a question for you. This comes 2 weeks ago. I asked you about the best actor one-hit wonders. Tonight I've got the list of best actress one-hit wonders. These are people who were only nominated for best actress once, and they won it. And other than that, they've never been nominated for any Academy Award.
And how many are there?
There are nine of them.
Whoa.
And they really span the decades. 30, 40, 50, two in the 50s, one in the 70s, one in the 80s, one in the 90s, one in the 2000s.
How about Shirley Booth?
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Shirley Booth
is one of them. Come back, little Sheba.
Shirley Booth is one of them.
And is Judy Holliday one as well?
And Judy Holliday is one.
Give us both bells.
All right.
That's good. They're both in the 50s, right?
Those are your two in the 50s, right.
40s, would that be... No.
And these are all pretty big names.
Right.
Did Basinger win for actress or supporting actress? I'm going to guess Basinger. Must be supporting.
I don't know, but she's not on my list.
She won for best supporting actress. So you're only talking about best actress here, right?
This is best actress. Their only nomination was for best actress, and they won it the one time they were nominated.
Who won?
And they're two in the 30s, is that what you said?
There's one in the 30s, one in the 40s.
One in the 30s.
Was one for 12 Years a Slave, Lupita
Nyong'o?
No. Nyong'o.
Yeah.
No.
Oh. Well, all right.
There is an African American on the list.
All right. One in the 30s.
The African American. That must be Halle Berry.
Halle Berry.
Yeah, very good. One in the 40s.
So we're missing the earliest one in the 40s, is that right?
In the
30s, 40s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and the 16s.
16, oh, that's...
Or the 10.
So last year's.
Yeah. Who won this year?
Oh, wait, that was The Room.
Oh.
You had a question about The Room.
Brie Larson.
Brie Larson. I gave that one to you.
Yeah, right. You did. Thank you. Yeah, we're not even halfway there.
Right.
Leave it out, too.
All right, leave it out. We'll let people guess
that. Okay, I will tell you, they are all, with maybe one exception, very big names everybody's going to know. So the question, once again, is actresses who were only nominated for one Academy Award. It was Best Actress, and the one time they were nominated, they won.
Okay.
And there are five more.
And there were about a dozen men, too, right?
Right.
Last time, yeah. maybe
right.
more. Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
All right, Ed.
Good question.
Okay.
Thank you. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We're a little past halfway, so let's repeat any questions that have not been answered yet. Kira, you go first.
I believe I only have one, and that is, what is the name of Shel Silverstein's lion who shot back?
All right. And Lori?
I am looking. All the poetry questions were gotten. I'm looking for three of the seven main objectives of a public high school education from the 1918 Commission on the Reorganization of Secondary Ed. We have health, academics, worthy home membership, vocational education, and ethical character. We need three more.
All right.
Oh, two more. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. And I had a list of awards, and I want you to tell me what the awards are given for. The ones we have left are the Erasmus Prize, the Lumiere Award, the Bancroft Prize, and the Lawrence O'Brien Award. And let's see. I think it's my turn. Okay. I did this a couple weeks ago. Maybe it was last week. Frankly, it all kind of blends in after a while. So I'm going to give you two actors who played the same famous literary character. I want you to tell me who that character was. Okay? So these are all different.
These are fictional character or a
These are all fictional characters.
Okay.
So these are two actors or actresses who played the same fictional literary character. Tell me who that character is. Number one, Ethan Hawke and John Mills. Number two, Robert Montgomery and Elliot Gould. Number three, James Mason and Robert Duvall. Number four, Patrick Stewart and Gregory Peck. Number five, Vivian Leigh and Keira Knightley. And number six, Helena Bonham Carter and Faye Dunaway. So again, both these actors played the same literary character. Tell me who the character was. I'll just go through the list once more for you. Number one, Ethan Hawke and John Mills. Number two, Robert Montgomery and Elliot Gould. Number three, James Mason and Robert Duvall. Number four, Patrick Stewart and Gregory Peck. Number five, Vivian Leigh and Keira Knightley. And number six, Helena Bonham Carter and Faye Dunaway. So I'll give you one guess each.
You want to go first?
Oh, I'm still thinking.
All right.
I will take, I know the first two, so I think both Ethan Hawke and John Mills. No, I'll take the Robert Montgomery, Elliot Gould. They played Philip Marlowe.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
One was The Long Goodbye, and
yeah,
one was
Lady in the Lake and
the
Long Goodbye.
Yeah.
Right, very good. Good job. Okay. Kira?
Well, Patrick Stewart and Gregory Peck is going to be, that's going to be Shakespeare, I think.
It is not Shakespeare.
Oh, okay.
I don't think Gregory Peck did any film Shakespeare, did he?
No.
Okay, don't mind me.
I don't think so.
Don't mind me.
Okay.
The James Mason, Robert
Wait,
Duvall,
weren't they both captains of the Enterprise? I'm pretty sure that they were.
Gregory Peck?
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, he played captains in his life, but not of the Enterprise, though. So, all right.
All right.
Leave that out.
I'll do another one later.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ed. How are you?
Good.
So I wish if you share with me the complete sadness and outrage for what happened in Egypt today. These criminal, bogus Muslims killed a bunch of real innocent people on God's day, holiday. Holy day.
Yes.
Criminals. Anyway, so I have two questions related to that, actually. Number one, the old Egyptian flag has three stars. Each star represented something. What did it represent?
Did it represent the three major religions of Egypt?
Yes. Mm. Yes, yes, yes. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. As it is the origin of Egypt have been the motherland for the three religions. In Jews, Christian, and Muslim are brothers. Second question. He was the first man on earth to call for the concept of one God, monotheism. And I think Dana, he answered that question before. But I ask it again just for the occasion today. Who was he? It wasn't Abraham. It was about the same era, though.
It was the Pharaoh played by Michael Wilding in the movie The Egyptian,
yes,
whose name I can never remember.
Great movie, by the way. Great movie. Yeah, what was his name?
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
He actually is the father of Tutankhamun.
Oh.
His name was Akhenaten.
Oh.
Some people call him Akhenaten. He was also the husband of the most beautiful woman ever existed on Earth, Nefertiti.
Played by Gene Tierney.
Yes. I am really sad. I'm sad. This bloody terrorist, they're really not Muslim or Christian or Jews or anything. They are a bunch of criminals, and they should be totally destroyed. We really have to eliminate them. This is nonsense. Killed millions of people in Syria. But you know something? They're defeated in Egypt. Egypt have a very big army and a very strong leader. They will be destroyed. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Ian. Bye-bye. And Kira, I believe it's your turn.
Okay, it's my turn to give a list. I'm going to give you the name of 10 canine characters from popular television shows. You tell me the show they primarily featured on. And just so you know, all the shows lasted at least 5 seasons, and most of them spent time as a Nielsen Top 30 show.
All right.
Okay. Here are the names. Freeway, Buck, Eddie, Santa's Little Helper, Dreyfus, Bullet, Ladybird, Tiger, and finally a twofer, Apollo and Zeus.
Once more.
Mm-hmm.
They're both in the same show, Apollo and Zeus?
Apollo and Zeus are the same show, yes. Freeway, Buck, Eddie, Santa's Little Helper, Dreyfus, Bullet, Ladybird, Tiger, and Apollo and Zeus.
All right, go ahead, Lauren.
I might know one, which is Bullet. I think Bullet was a dog in Roy Rogers and Dale Evans.
That's correct. German Shepherd Bullet.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And that, I'll leave the rest for the audience.
Well, I don't know. Freeway was the dog in Heart to Heart.
Yes,
with
which
Robert Wagner
I'm currently
and
obsessed with.
Oh, really?
I love that show right now.
Santa's Little Helper, that's The Simpsons, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Eddie was the dog on Frasier.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
And Tiger, it seemed like there
Tiger
were a lot of tigers.
Tiger seems like an old one.
Yeah, is that?
It was a small dog, right?
That's not My Three Sons or something, is it?
No.
It's one of those long-running sitcoms from the 50s and 60s.
Not terribly long-running.
Oh, really?
Long-ish running, and a little bit later. And it's, oddly enough, the only show that did not spend time as a Nielsen Top 30.
It's not the Brady Bunch, then,
It's the Brady Bunch,
All right, there you go. Okay. And so which ones are left? Go ahead.
We've got Buck, Dreyfus, Ladybird, and then Apollo and Zeus.
Dreyfus. All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Could be. Oh, hi. It's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good.
Buck, I think, might be Married with Children.
Correct.
All right.
Good, Maddie.
Woo!
Ladybird is King of the Hill.
It sure is.
Good.
For Larry's list, also, how about Proficiency in French Horn?
That was left off the list. I think that was number 8 on the list.
And how to untie a Gordian knot?
That was on there, but it later eliminated also.
Okay. All right, I have a question for all of you.
Right.
I'm going to give you 5 Billboard Top 40 songs, and I'll give you the titles, and the singers, or the groups, they're all groups. They are all names, also names of professional sports teams of the Big Four.
So what are we guessing, the names of the singers' sports groups?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give you the titles. Here we go, 5 of them. Indian Reservation, 1971. Lies, 1966. The Three Bells, 1959. Crying in the Chapel, 1954. And My Boyfriend's Back, 1963.
And so the answer to these questions are all the same names as a major sports team?
Yeah, they all share the name with a sports team. So
some of these sports teams, I believe, are defunct. Is that true, Sparky?
That is not true. They are all current, in fact.
Because I remember a version of Lies by the Knickerbockers, which was an original name of a baseball team. That's not it, huh?
Well, yeah, it is.
New York Knicks.
Okay.
New York Knicks.
All right, fair enough.
Good job.
All right.
I don't know
boyfriend's back and there's going to be trouble.
Yeah.
Hey La, hey La.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good one.
What? Yeah, no, not to my knowledge. Yeah, our board op said, was it the Shangri-Las, but that's not.
Yeah,
it's not a sports team. Yeah. I can picture them.
All right, let's
leave it out.
Let's leave it out for people. So
yeah,
do you want us to put you on hold and you can give the answers?
Please.
Okay, we'll do that. Hold on.
Okay.
In the meantime, I believe it is your turn, Lori.
Okay. This one looks long, but it isn't. I think this one you'll get pretty easily.
What? Another handout?
Yeah, well, this makes it so you don't have to write as much. So what I'm giving out is a list of last names, and I want the answer to each of these is a famous pair of first names. In each case, it's a movie or a TV show or something like that. So if I gave you, if I gave you Montague and Capulet, the answer would be Romeo and Juliet. So in each case, you're going to tell me the famous first names that go with. The first one is DeFazio and Feeney.
It's Laverne and Shirley.
Correct. Give yourself a bell on that one. Let me go through the list, though. Second one is Parker and Barrow. Now They Get Hard, I think. Third one is Jones and Brown. Four is Dickinson and Sawyer. Number five is Chasen and Chardon. So Dana got DeFazio and Feeney. That's Laverne and Shirley. Give you one more each. Parker and Barrow, Jones and Brown, Dickinson and Sawyer, and Chasen and Chardon.
I only knew Laverne and Shirley and Bonnie and Clyde.
Yeah, Parker
yeah,
and Barrow.
Very good.
You want one more, Dana?
So these are not necessarily TV, though, right?
Not necessarily.
Chasen and Chardon.
It could be plays, movies, or TV.
I know Chasen and Sanborn. Dickinson and Sawyer sounds very familiar.
Yeah, they're all really well known.
All right, I have to think about that.
So we're looking for the first names of Jones and Brown, Dickinson and Sawyer, and Chasen and Chardon.
All right, let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Yeah, hi, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, it's Tom in Oakland.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Let's see, I have some guesses. The Erasmus Prize, is that for mathematics?
It is not mathematics.
Oh. The Bancroft Prize, is that for architecture?
That is not for architecture.
The Lumiere Award for light bulbs?
No.
Flashlights.
Yeah, not very good today. Did Patrick Stewart and Gregory Peck, did they play Lincoln both?
Well, I can see where you're coming from with that, but it wasn't Lincoln, no.
Helen and Bonham Carter and Faye Dunaway, is that... That's Planet of the Apes, right?
It is not Planet of the Apes.
Shoot! Striking out on all...
I would love to have seen Faye Dunaway in Planet of the Apes, but no.
Yeah, she would have been great. I didn't get any. I've got a couple of questions. I was reading... I was looking up... I know San Francisco seems to be referenced a lot as, like, San Francisco of the blank for other cities. So these are three cities in the United States which are known... which. At least when I looked up, they've got the moniker San Francisco of the East, San Francisco of the Midwest, and San Francisco of the South.
San Francisco of the South.
Is the South Austin?
No.
That's a good guess, though. I like that. Does that have anything to do with geography, or is it more of a cultural thing?
Some of both.
Some of both.
How about Atlanta for the South?
No.
Yeah.
Is the city in the South on the coast?
It's towards the coast. Towards the Atlantic coast.
It's not like Savannah, Georgia, or something.
No, but I think you're kind of on the right track.
You said Atlanta already.
I did.
So, I was going to think Charleston, but... No, well...
Yeah, the South one's a little more obscure, I would say.
Is the South one like Asheville, North Carolina?
Asheville, very good.
All right,
nice.
There you go. I know that's a very liberal
so we need
enclave.
Midwest and East.
Midwest
we,
and
who
East.
Who would claim it? Is this something the cities themselves claim, or is it meant to insult them by outsiders or insiders?
not necessarily an insult, but some of the cities do say it. Other ones, when I looked up San Francisco of the Midwest on the web, there were, multiple news articles and other sources that used that moniker for it.
So the San Francisco of the Midwest, is that's an upper Midwest city?
Upper Midwest, yeah. And that one's more geographical than culturally, I would think.
So...
Oh, so it must be a Great Lakes city, like a city on the Great Lakes, maybe like Madison.
Yep. Oh. Not Madison.
Not Madison. But, I was going to say Ann Arbor or St. Paul.
No.
It's not a college town, is it?
St. Paul is the right state.
Oh, okay, Minnesota.
So not Minneapolis.
Is it really Duluth?
It is Duluth, yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay, good job.
Yeah,
good job.
Duluth has hills
got that.
On the water.
Wow. Good old Duluth. Okay, so we need the east.
And the east one is kind of a combination of geography and culture as well.
Is it New England?
Yeah.
Or I'm kind of New England. I mean, like,
third generation California. I don't really know exactly where New England stops, but...
Is it like Connecticut north or
Connecticut north of Connecticut.
North of Connecticut.
Is
okay.
It kind of like Duluth, like an old surprise?
Oh, wait, no. What about somewhere in Vermont?
No.
Okay.
You sounded like you
knew. Is it on the coast?
It is on the coast.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So...
And it's north of Connecticut and Massachusetts? All right.
He didn't say north of Massachusetts. Okay. He said it was north of Connecticut. So
how about Bangor, Maine?
Well, it wouldn't be Bangor.
No, but you're
Portland, Maine, maybe.
Portland, Maine, yeah.
All right, yeah.
It's on the water as a very bohemian and a big
right. Well. Okay, thanks for that question.
Thanks.
All right. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Still me.
Oh, still you. I'm sorry. Okay, try it again. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Hello? Try again.
Once, but anyway, how about Anna Magnani?
Anna Magnani for one of the actresses, the one-off actresses. That's possible.
Right.
Do we have the
no,
list?
No, it is not. It is not Anna Magnani.
Okay, Sandra Bullock.
That is not correct either.
I think she's been multiple nominated.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. How about Nicole Kidman?
I think she's been nominated more than once, too.
Yes. Yeah.
Grace Kelly.
Country.
No.
Reese Witherspoon.
No.
No.
Frances McDormand.
No.
Louise Fletcher.
That is
yes.
One.
One
Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. That's very
all right. Patty Duke.
No, I don't think she was ever nominated for Best Actress. Maybe she.
I thought for The Miracle Worker.
Yeah, it was I can't remember what was supporting her. No, she was supporting.
Well, if it helps, we have one from the 30s, one from the 40s, one from the 80s, and one from the 90s left.
All right.
Okay. Sophia Loren.
Oh.
Two no.
Women? No.
Julie Andrews.
No.
Renee Zellweger.
You worked very hard on this list. Yeah.
No, I didn't work hard at all. I just have a good memory. But to no avail. Anyway, thanks. Anyway, bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
So one from the 30s. You should.
I should, but I'd
wheelhouse.
Have to go. I have to take. I need a couple minutes
How
to go over the list
Louise
in my head.
Louise Rainer?
No, she won twice.
Oh.
So
that would eliminate her. Okay. Well,
I can give you a second to think about that by trying to pick up another couple on that list of seven.
All right, go ahead.
All right. What about grooming? Does that count as health or is it its own?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Good grooming is important.
No, I think that would go under good home membership,
okay.
Which we already got.
And then what about fine arts or musical appreciation?
No. And those are barely implied, I think, in 1918. I don't think that was part of what was being recommended then.
Interesting.
They're such good guesses. And later on, those became much more involved in recommendations.
The studio audience has a guess of civics.
You know, I think give him that. Citizenship, they call it.
Okay.
So, which is sort of different than ethical character. Voting. Civics was lasted through the 50s and 60s. Even.
Okay. Right.
Very good studio audience.
Let's try to take another call or two before we have to wrap up.
There's one more left on that list.
Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
Did you get Ethan Hawke and John Mills?
No, not yet.
Lori had that.
I didn't say it, though.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, Great Expectations.
Right, yeah, and but the character's name.
Pip.
Yeah. Pip is great.
Vivien Leigh and Keira Knightley.
Right.
Did you get that?
No.
Anna Karenina.
Anna Karenina. Yeah. Very good.
Okay, and now I'm going to try for the Oscar gals. Is Mary Pickford?
Was she not? No, she was nominated for Taming of the Shrew and
Oh, she
Coquette.
Got two.
And, yeah. And
what about that Cotillard person?
Oh, was it really? Oh, okay. All right. Well, maybe you're right then, Thomas. I'll give you a bell.
I got a bell. Oh, good.
Marianne Cotillard?
Yeah.
Yes.
Eric?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
Marlene Matlin? Is that her name?
Yes. Marlene Matlin.
Children of a Lesser God.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I can go in peace. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. All right. Take one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on. Go ahead, please.
Oh, hi. Let's see. Dreyfus is the dog from Empty Nest.
Yep.
Good job.
Sure is.
I think Gregory Peck was in a magnificent movie called Captain Horatio Hornblower, and I think that might be Patrick Stewart as well.
It is not. It was a very enjoyable movie. You're right about that.
About captains.
And I think the only PG Disney movie from 1979 is Tron.
No, the answer to that was The Black Hole.
The Black Hole.
Right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good night.
All right. Let's clean up here. Kira, you go first.
All right. The name of Shel Silverstein's lion who shot back, that is Lafcadio. The dogs Apollo and Zeus were a pair of Doberman Pinschers on Magnum P.I.
All right.
And I think that's it.
Okay.
All right. On my pairs of names, Jones and Brown were Amos and Andy. Dickinson and Sawyer were Thelma and Louise, and Chasen and Chardon were Harold and Maude.
Oh, that's good.
Seven recommended objectives of high school education, we got health, academics, worthy home membership, vocation, citizenship, and ethical character. The big surprise, worthy use of leisure time.
Worthy use of leisure time.
Don't fritter your time away.
All right. The prizes that nobody got, the Erasmus Prize is the... for the highest contribution for European culture and society, Lumiere Award is awarded by the Royal Photographic Society for the highest achievement in photography. The Bancroft Prize is actually a big national prize. It's given in history by Columbia University. And the Lawrence O'Brien Award, and you were mostly right, is given on behalf of somebody who has sacrificed the most for the Democratic Party.
Oh, I think I get a half.
Yeah, you get a half
bell
for that, I guess. The literary characters nobody got. Patrick Stewart and Gregory Peck both play Captain Ahab.
Oh, studio audience did have that.
All right,
that.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Elena Bonham Carter and Faye Dunaway and Martita Hunt all played Miss Havisham in Great Expectations.
Oh.
And actually, the most interesting one to me is James Mason and Robert Duvall, who are both very good in this part, both play Dr. Watson. In different movies.
Oh.
So, if we didn't get to your call, we do apologize.
Do you want me to give you the
oh,
other...
Oh, yes, yes, please. Go ahead.
So, Ed, caller Ed, the two actresses that were one-hit wonders that we didn't mention were Ginger Rogers and Gwyneth Paltrow.
Okay.
Oh,
okay. And then the songs from the 50s and 60s that the groups were names of sports teams, Indian Reservation by Paul Revere and the Raiders, The Three Bells by the Browns, Crying in the Chapel by the Orioles, and My Boyfriend's Back by the Angels.
Oh.
There you go. All right. Very good. And what does this say? Wait a minute. This
I know why the Caged Bird
Sings. Oh, I know why the Caged Bird
Sings. Was written by Paul Laurence Dunbar, not Maya Angelou put it as an epigram
Excellent.
For her poem.
Thank you.
Yes.
If we didn't get your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. Our panel tonight is Kira Pace, Lori Fisher. Thank you both very much. I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and calling out there. Have a great week, everybody, and we hope you will take the time to join us next Sunday at 7 p.m. Take care. Bye-bye.
One way or the other, if it ain't full, it's blank. If you don't spend, you bank. If it ain't being, it's frank. It's gotta be this or that.